Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Wednesday, October 25, 2017, happy hump day, ladies and gents, boys and girls, and we have an entertaining hour of sports talk in store for all of you right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. On today's Current Sports, we, of course, will talk about last night's Game 1 of the World Series between the L.A. Dodgers and the Houston Astros. 103-degree weather. Yeah, that's what the temperature was last night, making it the hottest World Series game of all time. And a star-studded, I guess you can say, pitcher's duel on the mound between Dallas Keuchel and Clayton Kershaw. We'll recap what went right for the L.A. Dodgers last night as they now have a Game 1 World Series win. Pretty impressive stuff, right? Very impressive stuff. As the Dodgers take a 1-0 World Series lead, we'll also be diving into some college football talk as we'll talk about the Michigan State football team again in preparation to head on the road out in Evanston, Illinois to take on the Northwestern Wildcats, which currently right now have a 2-game win streak. Michigan State sitting pretty at 6-1. And how about John O'Korn? Still the starting quarterback for the University of Michigan college football program. As it was announced on the ticket, 97-1 yesterday, John O'Korn will still start this upcoming weekend. Should he be the starting quarterback? We'll try to answer that question for you guys. And we hope to have Eric Hipple on the show. Kind of hit or miss right now, seeing as though he's hosting an event as we speak. But, of course, Eric Hipple, former Detroit Lions player, former Detroit Lions quarterback. Hope to get Eric Hipple on the show. We'll keep you posted throughout the hour if we can confirm that. But we do know that we will have multimedia journalist and broadcaster. He's also a freelance writer for high school sports and PA announcer for the Wayne State baseball team. Mr. Kevin Moore, he will join me live here in Studio S. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk some Detroit Pistons and Detroit Lions. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Join the fun via Facebook.com/currentsports. And you can even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Get And here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this hump day, October 25th, 2017. We start with Michigan State men's soccer. For the second time this season, the Michigan State men's soccer team had a game canceled. The Spartans were scheduled to host number 16 Notre Dame at DeMartin Soccer Stadium, but due to inclement weather, the game was canceled yesterday and will not be made up. It was a rainy and cold day yesterday, folks. MSU canceled a game earlier this year. That one taking place, or supposed to be taking place, against Oakland University. Due to scheduling conflicts on Oakland's part, the game was not rescheduled as well. The Spartans will return to action on Sunday to host number 2 Indiana to celebrate Senior Day. Brad Sintala, Jimmy Fiscus, Ken Krolicki, Michael Marcioni, Ryan Scott, and Phil Stair will all get honored, and head coach Damon Rensing will be honored before the game for earning his 100th career win earlier this season. Isaac, I certainly just butchered Michael's last name. Do you know how to pronounce that name?
Yeah, it's Mark Hantanini.
Wow, what a name.
So, a little bit off.
Yeah, you think?
A little.
You think? Oh, boy. Got to write that phonetically next time, man. Come on. Come on, man. All right, MSU women's soccer. While the men's soccer team gets a chance to rest up, the women's soccer team will host Northwestern for its final match of the regular season today. MSU is coming off a nothing-to-nothing draw. I just see Isaac, soccer kills me. 0-0, I hate that in the world of soccer. Dude.
I got to ask you, what do you dislike more, the names or the ties?
The ties.
Okay.
I hate, names, that's what your mama named you. I can't argue about that. But when it comes to ties, come on, man. It's why you play the game to win. Give me a winner, dude. But yeah, MSU coming off a 0-0 draw against Maryland. MSU is 6-10-1 on the season and will have to fend off a 9-6-2 Wildcats team looking for a third place finish in conference play. Now, 6 seniors will be honored. Here we go again. Savannah Wojtanowski. Got that right. All right, I'm getting the thumbs up on that one. Madison Duncan, Christelle Yewa, Jamie Cheslick, Brielle Leon, and Morgan McCurchy. The game will kick off at 6 p.m. All right, the MSU men's golf team spent its Tuesday in Vero Beach, Florida. That really sounds nice right about now. Much warmer weather down there. And they moved up 4 spots in the final round to take second place in the Quail Valley Intercollegiate. MSU is tied a season low and finished 12 under par, a 276 for the final round, and 25 under, 839 for the tournament. USF won the tourney with a 44 under par, 820. Now, with winter approaching, the men's team will take a hiatus until February 9th, 2018, where the Spartans will return to Florida for the Big Ten Match Play Championship. After a press conference in which Michigan State hockey coach Dan Cole stated he wanted to see some of his freshmen score some goals, Mitchell Lewandowski did just that. The freshie forward did not make his coach wait too long. Lewandowski scored 4 points against Western Michigan, including the game-winning goal. For his performance, Lewandowski was named Big Ten First Star of the Week. An appearance on 97.1 FM, The Ticket, in Detroit earlier this morning, Michigan offensive coordinator Tim Drevno. He reassured Jim Harbaugh's claims on Monday that quarterback John O'Korn is U of M's best option to win a game currently. Now, Drevno, he told The Ticket that O'Korn will start against Rutgers this Saturday as the Wolverines look to improve to 6-2 on the year. O'Korn is 1-2 as a starting quarterback at Michigan, leading some fans wanting to give redshirt freshie Brandon Peters a shot at quarterback. We'll dive into those comments in just a moment here on the show. Detroit Lions news. The Detroit Lions have reached a contract extension with its Pro Bowl kicker, Matt Prater. Prater signed a 3-year extension with the Lions worth $11.4 million. Now, after being released by Denver following a substance abuse policy violation, he has been nothing but consistent. He tied an NFL record earlier this year by making 12 straight field goals of 50 yards or more. Impressive stuff. He also holds the NFL record for consecutive field goals made being 55 yards or longer. That streak with 7. The 2-time Pro Bowler also holds the NFL record for the longest ever field goal at 64 yards. Impressive stuff. All right, after starting the season 4-0-1, the Detroit Red Wings lost its 5th straight contest last night after they were shut out 1-0 in Buffalo behind 32 saves from Buffalo goaltender
Robin Lehner. Goaltender Jimmy Howard's lone mistake last night came at the expense of a wraparound from Victor Antipin. Hopefully I nailed that one as well. In the second period, Howard finished the night with 31 saves.
Watch the shoot more. He had a good opportunity on that Sabres power play moments ago. That's something Phil Housley's trying to get into their heads, all of them. And Jack Eichel's one guy, too. Now, pulling off with a wraparound. He scores!
The Red Wings back on the road tonight to take on Tampa Bay. The puck drop for tonight's game will take place at 7:30 p.m. And the Detroit Pistons also in action tonight. The Pistons will host the Minnesota Timberwolves at 7 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. Both teams currently 2-2. The Pistons have to find a way to get off to faster starts in games. The Pistons are fresh off Monday's 97-86 loss to the Philadelphia 76ers, where they again fell behind 21 points early. The Pistons are four games into the season, and Coach Stan Van Gundy wonders if he needs to make a lineup change. I saw the comments from Stan Van. It looks like, if I had to guess, well, there's two ways you can go. Either sit down Reggie Jackson in the starting lineup, make him come off the bench and start Ish Smith, or, and I think this is probably the more realistic move here, sit down Stanley Johnson, who has not been great through four games of the year, probably move Tobias Harris to small forward and have John Luehr play the power forward position. But we'll see. Hey, what do I know? The Detroit Pistons shot 38.8% from the field in its last contest and went 6 of 20 from distance. Detroit was out-rebounded by 10, 49-39, and did not take advantage of 21 turnovers by Philly. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, you can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, where we currently have the live stream up and running, or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR _sports.
Altuve into right center field, should end it. Puig is there. Dodgers win game one. And Clayton Kershaw's got a World Series win.
And that's how we start off this hump day. Happy hump day, ladies and gents, boys and girls. You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Two more headliners. I just want to pass along these two headliners to you all concerning the NFL. Marshawn Lynch, running back for the Oakland Raiders, his appeal of his one-game suspension for shoving an official has been declined, and the running back will miss Oakland's game this week at Buffalo. The NFL made that announcement on Tuesday that appeals officer James Thrash upheld the one-game ban without pay. Just a really idiotic move from Marshawn Lynch that will now cost his team one game. And also, former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick is expected to be invited to the next meeting between the NFL players and owners. The meeting is scheduled for Tuesday in New York. But I want to start by addressing the World Series last night. I was on my couch kind of flipping back and forth between the NBA as well as the World Series Game 1 between the LA Dodgers and the Houston Astros. As mentioned, you know, the Dodgers pull out Game 1. Pull out Game 1. You know what? You talk about historic implications as it concerns Game 1 winners of the World Series. Well, good news, Dodgers fans, those out there listening. Game 1 winners have won 12 of the last 14 World Series and 17 of the last 20 World Series. Doing the math, that's 85%. So the last 20 World Series, those who have won Game 1 have gone on to win the World Series 85% of the time. Three exceptions: in 2002, San Francisco; in 2009, Philadelphia; and in 2016, Cleveland. Those are your only lone exceptions. So, World Series is fun, though. Clayton Kershaw and Dallas Keuchel went at it. You know, Kershaw, who is a three-time Cy Young winner, he was fantastic on the mound last night. I really like watching that duel between Kershaw and Keuchel last night. And, it was so hot, 103 degrees out in L.A. 103, the hottest World Series game ever. And rumor has it that Clayton Kershaw had to change his jersey four times last night. It was that hot. He was absolutely drenched. It didn't look like Keuchel changed his, because it just like he said, "Hey, I'm sweating. I probably don't have a backup jersey. I'm rocking this one." All right. But Kershaw gave up one run through seven innings, three hits, 11 strikeouts, 11 Ks for Clayton Kershaw last night. He actually became the first Dodgers pitcher since Sandy Koufax back in 1965 to record 10-plus Ks, in a World Series game. How impressive is that? The first Dodgers pitcher to do that since the 60s, Sandy Koufax. Now, heading into yesterday's start, Kershaw had a 4.40 ERA, and that's why you heard a lot, you know, previewing this game. You heard a lot of the announcers say, well, Kershaw has kind of struggled in the playoffs, an ERA of over 4 in the postseason. That's what fueled that dialogue, that he struggles in the playoffs. But Clayton Kershaw, come on, he totally dispelled that last night. Houston did not have multiple runners on base a single time. Not one time throughout that game yesterday. And props to Dallas Keuchel as well. Keuchel didn't allow multiple base runners at a time in Tuesday's start either, and he allowed 3 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, while striking out 3 in 6.2 innings of work. That's a pretty impressive night. The thing is, you're going against Clayton Kershaw. And how about Justin Turner and Chris Taylor? Chris Taylor smacked a home run in the first inning. Justin Turner, who, by the way, has, that beard that Justin Turner rocks, my goodness, is that a beard crafted from the heavens or what? Oh, man, that dude has a look. Also, Dallas Keuchel, he's got the beard as well. I guess the beard is like the thing for baseball players nowadays, right? Kind of like the NFL. You know, we saw like a trend with dreadlocks in the NFL. So anyway, Justin Turner's beard is amazing. He had a home run in the sixth, Chris Taylor in the first. And, you know, they each had homers before the bullpen combination of Brandon Morrow and Kenley Jansen came in and just kind of shut the door and secured the win after Kershaw left the game. But, you know, interesting. I thought about this last night when watching Clayton Kershaw, who has not pitched to the eighth inning in his career in the postseason, which kind of amazes me. Clayton Kershaw has never even seen the eighth inning in his postseason career. But, you know, the thought crossed my mind, if he's pitching so well right now, and this is what kind of irks me about baseball today. You know, back in the day, I mean, you didn't worry about pitch count. You saw starting pitchers, if they were in a groove, they would pitch the entire game. And I thought to myself, as Clayton Kershaw went out the game, you know, he's playing so well, why not pitch him for another inning and save Morrow or Jansen and get Houston to kind of guess? Because look, Houston and L.A., the Dodgers and Astros, they haven't played each other in 2 years, since 2015. They haven't seen Morrow and Jansen. So why not, you know, pitch Clayton Kershaw another inning and just use one of those relievers instead of two? So that's the argument, you know, for not bringing in Morrow and Jansen so early and letting Kershaw go. And also, I saw it was released by the Dodgers that, you know, if this thing, as the series goes along, this would be the last time. You won't see Clayton Kershaw in Game 4. That's the last time you'll see Clayton Kershaw probably this season. So, you know, and again, he's never pitched to the eighth inning in the postseason. I probably would have let it ride, you know, an inning or two longer and saved or pocketed Morrow and Jansen for Game 2. But anywho, you know, Taylor and Turner, fantastic. You know, both Taylor and Turner were both named co-MVPs in the NLCS in that win over the Chicago Cubs. Taylor had three multi-hit games and two homers in the NLCS, so he just continues his hot streak. Turner's homer, even him, with Duke Snider for the most career ribbies in Dodgers playoff history at 26. Impressive stuff, right? So, Game 2 will pit Justin Verlander versus Rich Hill. And Houston, you know, it's not completely over. I think I may be scaring, you know, fans out there who are rooting for the Houston Astros. And trust me, there are a lot of them out there because Houston does have Justin Verlander now. And a lot of Detroit Tigers fans want to see JV get a ring this year with the Houston Astros, despite the fact that 17 of the last World Series winners have won Game 1. I don't want to scare you guys out there. It's sports. Anything can happen. But, you know, Justin Verlander has been so hot with the Houston Astros. His record sits right now at 9-0. Dude hasn't lost with Houston. 4-0 in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, he has an ERA of just 1.46. Yeah, I think if I was a betting man, I'm going with Houston to rebound and even this thing up. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. And you know what I liked about last night's game as well, Isaac, is that it didn't take long. This game was done, and you could put the babies to bed around 11:30 or so, probably even earlier than that. You saw me. I was flipping back and forth because I love watching the World Series. It's so entertaining. And actually, looking at the ratings for last night's Game 1, it was only about 15 points off from last year's World Series, which is pretty good. Very, very good. I was very impressed when watching the ratings last night. And also, you know, I tell you, that stadium that the LA Dodgers play at, man, did that look cool or what last night?
Looked
absolutely fantastic. A real hot game. But, you know, you talk about the length of time. I wish every baseball game could only go, you know, what 2 hours and 28 minutes. It was actually the fastest World Series game since back in 1992. Fastest World Series game since 92. And if you had to guess what year the fastest World Series game took place, what would you say, Isaac? Just throw out a year.
Give me 1924.
You went way back. Just add about 20 more years on to that. It happened in 44. The 1940s.
Oh.
I think it was 1948. Okay. Don't quote me on that, but it happened in the 1940s.
How short was it?
It was 1 hour and 30 minutes. So, yeah.
For nine innings?
For nine innings. How crazy is that, right? I don't know what was going on there, but gosh. I mean, I think if every baseball game was that quick, or just give me, you know, 2 hours and a little bit of change.
Yeah.
I don't need a three-hour baseball game. If every baseball game averaged that amount of time from what we saw last night, I think you would get a lot of younger eyeballs tuning in. But did you tune in for last night for the World Series? I'm pretty sure you watched it.
You know, I was more on the boat that you were flipping back between that, and of course my Pelicans were playing, so I had to watch some basketball last night too, which you cruelly made me relive this morning after the Pelicans lost to the Portland Trailblazers. Go 1-3. That's a different tangent, though.
Right.
No, I mean, not every game is going to be this quick because not every game is going to have Kershaw versus Keuchel on the mound.
Exactly,
I mean, these
right.
two, wheel and deal. And their strike percentage when they pitch, both are just so accurate. Not only do they get velocity, bend on the ball, but they also just manage to keep it in the zone. They get batters behind the count and get them where they want them. So
well,
I mean,
will say this too,
great strikeout pitchers.
Brad brought this point up. Brad Walker, our very own Brad Walker, brought this point up before I hit the air. And you know, and I right before I hit the air, I kind of Googled that. You know, I just want to kind of see what the fans thought about the umping last night, the umpire job last night. And a lot of them felt that You know, the umps were very kind to Keuchel and Kershaw. There were some, and he brought up the Jose Altuve at bat where, you know, it was high and the ump caused it a strike. And then mm-hmm. there was one that was low, clearly low. And he called that one, you know, a strike as well. So they were very kind last night to Keuchel and Kershaw. I think that sometimes when you look at stout pitchers like a Kershaw, a Keuchel, heck, a JV tonight, the umps kind of give them the benefit of the doubt.
They do. It's just like in the NBA, they get star treatment. But at the same time, with a guy like Altuve in particular, I'm okay with widening that strike zone a little bit because he's 5'6". You've got no space to aim for if you're a pitcher. So I'm okay with that one. But at the same time, mm-hmm. of course, he was living by the same rules as everybody else. But great game, as you mentioned. I mean, the Dodgers, through and through that game, they got the power when they needed it. They scored early and set the tone for that one, which was crucial because once Jansen went in later in that game, mm-hmm. you know, it was time to put the kids to bed. That was a pretty set matchup for the Dodgers. Great game one, though, and this is a series that I easily see going seven games with Houston's depth and LA's strength at the front.
Okay, well, we'll see. I don't know if it'll go seven. Six? I think I said. Did we even give our predictions
for
the World Series?
We didn't.
I'm going with the Dodgers in six.
Dodgers in seven. Yeah.
And you're going with the Dodgers in seven. Okay. So you think it could possibly go seven games? And reading a few comments here, we got one of our listeners, James Taylor, says baseball is almost over. Yay! It is so long and boring. James, come on, dude. Come on. It's the world. I hope you watched the World Series last night. James, it's the World Series, for goodness sake. I'm not sitting there watching 160 plus games throughout the regular season, but I do watch playoff baseball. There's nothing like playoff baseball. And also, Steven, he's rooting for the Astros. Ben Grimes chimes in and says Verlander goes for Houston on the mound tonight in LA game two. Go Astros. So I feel like there's a lot of Houston Astros in the Michigan area simply for the fact that, yeah, Justin Verlander is a part of that team now. He is a part of that team. All right. I want to transition just really briefly. I want to go on a spiel about the latest news concerning the University of Michigan football team. And Ray from Indiana, I see you. We're going to get to Ray in just a moment. But and again, if you want to call in, 517-355-WKAR. But the latest news concerning John O'Korn, Michigan starting quarterback, in an appearance on 97-1, the ticket in Detroit, Michigan offensive coordinator Tim Drevno just came out and said that, yes, our quarterback for this weekend is still John O'Korn. He gives us the best option to win. And to directly quote him, quote, "We feel like John's the best guy right now. And like everyone else, Brandon Peters is just a snap away. Collectively, Coach Harbaugh and all of us feel that John's the best guy for the job," end quote. Now, again, these guys, we're not seeing what's taking place each and every week in practice. So I would assume that these dudes know what they're looking at and they know what they're doing. And obviously, Brandon Peters is not showing them enough in order for him to be the starting quarterback over John O'Korn. And I think that's what a lot of fans miss in this whole conversation. Sure, you can look at O'Korn and look at his record, 1-2 right now, after the 42-13 pounding against Penn State on Saturday. You can look at that and say, all right, let's give Brandon a try. But again, if the dude's not showing you that much in practice, and you and obviously you're putting O'Quinn out there for a reason, the coaching staff is doing this for a reason, think about that. Just think about that for a second. You know, you want to see somebody else behind center just because this dude, O'Quinn, hasn't been lights out. O'Korn right now is 61 of 110 through the air for 729 yards, one touchdown, and four picks in his six appearances and three starts this year with U of M. Right now, the Wolverines rank number 11 in the Big Ten in pass offense with 187.7 yards per game. Actually, that offense isn't too far away from Michigan State's offensive production. Now, offensive coordinator Tim Drevno, again, he confirmed that John O'Korn is the starter. Now, there is some thinking that goes in here when you look at the future of the University of Michigan football program. Do you play Brandon Peters? Again, he's a redshirt freshman from Indy. and get him some reps, knowing that he will probably be in the thick of things when it comes to the quarterback competition next season. He'll be competing against Wilton Spate if Spate is healthy from the neck injury, and also Dylan McCaffrey. O'Korn, and again, it's not totally O'Korn's fault as to why he has struggled through three games with the Wolverines football program. I mean, if you look at you know the stats here, O'Korn, he's been sacked 15 times this season. Now, some of those are O'Korn's fault. You know, when he's trying to make something out of nothing in the backfield, holds onto the ball way too long, just not great decisions. But some of that also has to do with that offensive line that needs to protect whoever is behind center better if they want to have success offensively. So it's a combination. And, you know, right now I think that if you put O'Korn back out there as the starter, which, again, they will do this weekend at least, Jim Harbaugh is reiterating the fact that this team is still playing for something this season. I know it hasn't looked good losing to Penn State. Well, I shouldn't say just losing, but just getting the snot beat out of you by the Nittany Lions out in Happy Valley on Saturday. And then prior to that, of course, the loss to your in-state rival in Michigan State at home inside the Big House in inclement weather. Yeah, those are two bad losses. But if you trot O'Korn back out there, you are still saying that, hey, if this ship is going to go down this season, we're going to go down fighting. And this guy gives us the best chance to do so. If you open up that quarterback competition and give Brandon Peters a snap or two, it kind of looks like, all right, you're already planning for next year. So it's a catch-22 for me. I still think that U of M, at least for right now, needs to start John O'Korn. They've got five more games left on the schedule. U of M fans, you got five more games left on the schedule to compete and possibly finish this year out strong. And you know, it's so crazy, you know, listening to a few national analysts out there. I mean, I've heard Jim Harbaugh's name already in the conversation for head coaching jobs back in the NFL. It's crazy. I was listening to one national host talk about Jim Harbaugh possibly, you know, well, I should say the Indianapolis Colts possibly going after Jim Harbaugh as their next head coach. So it's crazy. And right now, you know, for those Michigan State fans out there that again, do want to embrace the hate and go after U of M, just like our next caller will do, I'm sure, Ray from Indiana, it's easy to do that, especially looking at how they fared so far this season. But I will say this, during Brady Hoke's final year and, you know, going 5-7 and looking at how Jim was able to go, 10-3 in both of his first two seasons with the U of M football program. There's not a lot of coaches that can do that. I believe Jim Harbaugh is a solid coach. However, again, unrealistic expectations. You have to look at the entire picture for this University of Michigan football program, a very young team in which you are going to go through growing pains with. You got to look at the bigger picture at the end of the day, folks. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. I want to hit our first break. When we come back, again, we'll take some of your calls. We'll also be inviting live to the studio Kevin Moore, who's a multimedia journalist and broadcaster, freelance writer for high school sports as well in Detroit, and PA announcer for the Wayne State baseball team. And still waiting word if we possibly can get Eric Hipple on the show, former Detroit Lions quarterback. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
I've got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm walking, here's the need, I'm talking. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Sad news coming from the world of music, Isaac. I'm pretty sure you know this name quite well, seeing as though you are born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. Fats Domino passed away at the age of 89 years old this week. He was an early titan of rock and roll. You know much about him?
Yeah. Grew up in the lower Ninth Ward and actually stayed throughout Katrina. So a true New Orleanian through and through. And Fats Domino, really a modern day inventor of jazz rock as we now know it. And actually, I read a New York Times obituary today that quoted Elvis as saying that he kind of brought that genre to life and that he was the best at it. And for Elvis to be humble, that shows you just what the talent of Fats Domino was. But he'll be missed. 89 years and a great career, but nonetheless, we'll miss him.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, Elvis gets a kind of a bad rep for actually stealing from a lot of different artists out there. I won't go down that conversation right now, but I'm just saying. So rest in peace to Fats Domino. Right now, we've got a caller who has been patiently waiting. He's a dear friend of the show. On line one, we have Ray from Indiana that wants to chime in. Ray, what's up, dude?
I'm sorry to hear about Fats Domino. I loved his singing, his music, and Elvis, too. It's sad, but go Rutgers. Beat the bullies. Put them in the basement where they belong. Rutgers 17, Michigan 14. Sorry, Michigan fans, another loss coming up.
So you think this would be a really close game then, huh, Ray? 17-14, why so close?
Well, I'm hoping we blow them out. We just got to destroy their offensive line like Penn State did.
Okay. All right. So 17-14 is your prediction.
Astros. Beat the Dodgers.
And you like the Astros. And now, are you
You know why I love the Astros?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Why is that, Ray?
Well, I'm a big Indians fan, and they got knocked off by the Yankees. I'm glad they eliminated the Yankees. I couldn't stand them. But the reason I wanted to see them to win a world title, they've never won one in their history, 55 years, okay?
Right.
The Indians have been 69 years. We've got to wait till next year. But after going through 52 inches of rain, if any city deserves a world championship after what they went through, they do. I'm hoping that they can pull it off. I don't think they can, but I'm rooting for them.
That is very, very true. And, a lot of, as I mentioned before the first break, there's a lot of people in the area here in the state of Michigan, period, that are rooting for the Houston Astros. And I'm pretty sure for that other reason as well, not just because Justin Verlander is a part of the team, but also they've gone through a lot when it comes to the hurricane that tore through that area. Thanks so much, Ray. Appreciate the call, man.
52 inches of rain, that's what, 70, 80 feet of snow?
Yeah, and there still are a lot of ways that many people can donate and get involved. And, heck, you probably saw the news when it comes to MSU men's basketball, Ray, as they will be raising funds this weekend playing in an exhibition game out in Grand Rapids to raise funds for hurricane relief out in Georgia, also out in the Bahamas where Lou Ross Tum Tum Nearing Jr. is from. But also Tom Izzo reiterated as well in the press conference that, hey, heck, they're raising funds for all of the areas that that have been ravaged due to hurricane season. So
that's real class. I donated $100 towards the hurricane that hit Texas. You know, I can't give a lot of money, but I try to help.
Right. Anything helps, right? Right.
I'm praying for those people down there. God bless you guys, and just hang in there. God will help heal this community.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thanks so much, man. Always good chatting with you.
Thank you, buddy.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We just talked about the University of Michigan football program, and, you know, there's a lot of talk surrounded around the Michigan State football program. Because they're winning. They're winning right now. 6-1, bowl eligible for the first time in now two seasons. Last year, of course, the 3-9 year has been well documented. And now Michigan State football will play Northwestern on the road. A Northwestern team that you can't overlook. Northwestern right now is riding a two-game win streak with wins over Maryland and Iowa. After that, Michigan State will head into the gauntlet, as they will play Penn State at Spartan Stadium and then Ohio State at the Shoe on the road in Columbus. Back-to-back games, the two teams that sit atop the Big Ten East along with your Michigan State Spartans. And if you remember last year, it was a shootout. A lot of offense in that game. A 54-40 win last year for the Wildcats in East Lansing. And right now, I want to dive into MSU football as well as MSU men's basketball. I want to do that by inviting our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Kevin Moore, multimedia journalist and broadcaster. He's a freelance writer for high school sports as well in the Detroit area, and also a PA announcer for the Wayne State baseball team and a former player for the Wayne State baseball team. He now joins me live here in Studio West. First off, Kev, welcome to the show, and thanks for driving up, man, making the trip.
Man, I definitely appreciate it. The drive was pretty good, so I'm glad to be here. I like to call this my second home, you know. I'm a Spartan at heart, even though I went to Wayne State. But, hey, go green, go white, baby.
There you go. And Kev, for those that, again, it's your first time on the show. For those that don't know who you are, and I want to ask, I mean, how did you become a Spartan fan, and how did you get into the world of sports journalism as well?
Okay, so I'll start off with how I became a Spartan fan. So I'll take it back to the year 2000. Mm-hmm. I was a young lad in kindergarten, but I still remember to this day when Tom Izzo took Mateen Cleaves and Mo Pete to that national championship game. And when they won it, man, my family was just going crazy. Excuse me. But, yeah, I remember because we went to Cedar Point that summer. Mm-hmm. And me, my brother, my mom, and my dad, we all got the Michigan State 2000 NCAA champion shirts. And we were walking around Cedar Point. Everybody was just looking at us. You know, Cedar Point, those Ohio people don't like us Michigan people. But they thought we all looked cute because we all had the same shirts and we looked like a unified unit. So everybody was just coming up to us and like, man, I love those shirts, man. Even though we don't like Michigan State, I just love how you guys just look the same all together. You guys like a really cute family. And mm-hmm. I just remember those days. And ever since then, I've been a Spartan fan, you know, basketball, football. So That's amazing, for sure.
And it's amazing how that 2000, you know, national championship team, just the kind of reach that they had, you know, the Flintstones, because that was my first memory of Michigan State University, mm-hmm. to be honest. I mean, I remember sitting there in the living room with my socks off watching, you know, the game with my grandfather. And I remember the celebration and Tom Izzo and Mateen Cleaves, uh-huh. you know, the arms wrapped around each other and watching the banner go up. Oh, man, what a moment that was.
Yes.
And so as far as your background when it comes to sports journalism, how did you get into that, my man?
So my background was sports journalism. I mean, I played sports my whole life, and I always told myself that when I'm done playing sports, I always wanted to be involved in sports, you know, no matter what that was. And I love talking about sports, love writing about it. So that's how I came up and decided that I want to go into sports broadcasting and sports journalism. And so I would say my eighth grade year, going into my freshman year of high school, that's when I really got into, you know, the sports journalism and wanted to become a sports broadcaster. You know, I had the dreams of being on ESPN as my ultimate goal. And I just love watching ESPN in the mornings before I go to school. And when I come home, I always watch ESPN. And I would always tune in to the basketball games, NBA, NCAA, the football games, no matter what it was. I would just always sit in with me and my brother and my dad. And we just love talking about them at the dinner table. So that's how I got to sports journalism. So,
and it's an interesting world we live in when it comes to 2017 sports broadcasting and sports journalism as a whole. Because right now, Kev, I mean, we're starting to see, you know, these things, and if those who can't see on the live stream, I'm waving a newspaper.
They
now,
might not even know what that is.
Exactly, exactly. Right, going and getting the local newspaper. Right, it's a thing of the past now because everybody gets their information online. Mm-hmm. And I have to ask you because you know you see what happened to ESPN not too long ago as they let go.
Right.
You know, 100 employees, 70 of those being on-air talent. Mm-hmm. And, again, a lot of things going online now and becoming digital. How much does that scare you about the future of this industry?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It does scare me a little bit just because the fact that, you know, the young generation, you know, there honestly are some people my age or younger who probably never read a newspaper in their life. And, like, that really is scary. And the thing is, because what I like about the newspaper, I actually, you know, I freelance with the Detroit News. And, mm-hmm. You know, I always talk to the sports editor and they tell me about how, you know, even though that with technology being so advanced, they always try to tend to that portion of people who still read the newspaper, you know, and just the passion that they have for that just really is an eye-opening experience for me. And I always read the newspaper every day. You know, my dad, he gets the newspaper, and I'm always reading the sports section of the newspaper. So, no, I know I'm pretty sure the newspaper will, I hate to say this, but it probably will go out of business in the years to come. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a sad thing to see, especially with, like I said,
technology. But it'll probably live online, right?
Yeah. It'd be mostly online. You know, with everything so easily accessible nowadays, you know, with your phone, you can look up articles on your phone with the updates. And I just feel like, you know, it's going to be a sad day in, like, the newspaper industry when, you know,
when
that cycle of newspaper will consistently be declining. So,
and Isaac, you know, we had on James Edwards III, who is now with The Athletic. He's gone from the Lansing State Journal now to The Athletic. And, you know, right now The Athletic is trying to build up their audience. It looks like it's doing pretty well right now. And they're not a print publication. Everything is online when it comes to The Athletic. How lasting do you think that will be in the years to come? Because I tell you what, you and I have rapped about this, man, and I just don't know where it's going to go. Right now it looks good, but to expect, and you mentioned the younger generation, Kev. I mean, cats who are in high school, who are big sports fans, they get their information right on an app, on the ESPN app or Bleacher Report or on Facebook or on Twitter. You really think they're going to shell out, what, you know, $15 a month or however much it is?
That Bleacher Report information comes for some total of $0.
And
sadly,
right.
I mean, the tenets of journalism, being accurate, timely, all of that, it's gone out the window. Yeah. I mean, it really has. Nowadays, people get a notification. I can't tell you how many times I get a notification from Bleacher Report because I have that app too. And come to see, 2 minutes later, I get another notification from them saying, correction, this is actually what happened. It's bad journalism, but at the same time, it's instantaneous, it's free. And as long as those two facts of the matter hold true, then people aren't paying money. And sadly, that's just the way it is, because no matter how clean-cut or well-reputed something is, it's tough to ask people to pay money when they don't have to. That simple.
That's very, very unfortunate, but very true, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, our guest for today is Kevin Moore, multimedia journalist and broadcaster, a freelance writer for high school sports, as well as a PA announcer for the Wayne State University baseball team. Also former player. So you're a Warrior.
Yep,
you graduated from
Wayne State,
Kev, and you were a player for the baseball team. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was that like, just being a college athlete, man, you played the outfield, I know. Yep. You're a pretty good baseball player, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it, you know, being an athlete in college. You know, there were days where, you know, we had to wake up early for our workouts and then go to class right after. And then we have practice after the class. So the days were long, but I just love the grind and just love being a part of a family. You know, I would like to say the Wayne State baseball team, you know, we're a family. And, you know, the coaches, you know, shout out to head coach Ryan Kelly and the assistant coach Ryan Hepner. Aaron Hepner, I'm sorry. But they emphasize, you know, the brotherhood and being a family as a team. And, you know, I established relationships with the players, you know, that I play with, and I still keep in contact with them to this day. Mm-hmm. So I definitely love, you know, that being an athlete and supporting the other athletic programs. And, you know, we had a good supporting system. So that was definitely a really good experience for myself. And then just playing, you know, I've been playing baseball since I was a little kid, and you know, something I always wanted to do was play collegiate baseball, and just to be out on that field wearing Wayne State on the front, and it was just an amazing feeling for me. So loved it.
And I want to ask you this before we hit our final break here, Kev, because you know, we've had this conversation multiple times on the air, and it concerns the lack of African Americans that play the game of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, you turn on the game now, you know, in the majors, and I believe the percentage has gone down again this year. It's something like 6-7% of the MLB is African American. Those numbers used to be off the chain back in the day, the 60s, 70s, right? For you, being an African American male playing the game of baseball, why aren't more blacks playing the game?
That's a good question, and that's something I've been asking myself for a really long time. And I honestly, in my opinion, I think that they're not playing the game because the fact they weren't brought, it wasn't a sport brought up to them at a young age, you know, simply for the fact that, you know, when I was probably like 8 or 9 years old, most of my friends in school, you know, they were gravitating towards football. and basketball. And
because that's what they see, right? I mean, yeah, you see exactly. LeBron that's James, see. Dwayne Wade, all those guys, those African-American superstars in the NBA, NFL. I mean, there's a lot of blacks playing that game as well, but you turn on the TV now.
You don't see no African-Americans in baseball. So I really think it's going to get even worse for baseball because you turn on the TV, now you look at MLB players, you don't see too many African-American players. And I think in the city of Detroit, it's really bad. You look at the Tigers, there are none, like zero African-American players on the Tigers. And I really think that hurts, you know, baseball for the inner city for African-Americans. Because I feel like if you're a young kid and you want to play a sport, you want to see somebody that looks like you succeeding in that sport.
Right.
And I feel like that'll make them want to play that sport. And I think I just don't know like what the MLB is doing as far as, you know, the African American players. I would just love to get back to seeing, you know, the African Americans in baseball, because I think that would really help the inner city a lot and have those youth gravitate towards the sport of baseball.
Yeah, and it's a combination of many things, and I think that, you know, the equipment price, you know, it's easy to pick up a basketball and go find a goal and hoop it up with your homies, right? Same thing with football. You just need a football and some bodies in the open field, right?
Yep.
Baseball, you need equipment. I hope that it changes. It starts to change, but right now I feel like it's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we've got two callers on line one and two, Dave and Michael. I see ya. If you want to be a part of the show, just like Dave and Michael via phone, 517-355-WKAR,
517-355-9527. I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you. You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You the one to blame.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of the show. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to chime in. Mike, what's up?
What's up, man? You know, producer Isaac is playing Fat Domino records. You know he died today.
Yeah, and a little too late, Mike. Yeah, we mentioned that after our first break, actually.
Oh, what about the guy that do on Sports Night, Robert Goulamane? He also died, too. He had the sitcom called Sports Night, but he was on Benson and Soap, too. Here's what I want to ask you. Since y'all talking about baseball, I was going to ask you about Josh Jackson in Phoenix up there pointing his finger to the fan like a gun.
Yeah,
I
saw
said,
that.
Man, he's got to get that. He's got to let that go, man.
Yeah, he brought some of that Detroit mentality. I saw that. I'm like, come on, brother. Yeah, like he was pulling a trigger, shooting at somebody. Can't do that. Can't do that, Josh.
Yeah. I thought the same way you did. But here's what I want to ask you about baseball, since y'all bring the topic up in Detroit inner city and stuff. Is that going to be the way that the Detroit kids going to have to go to a Catholic school to really be recognized in baseball, because it's the public school league down there? I know your coach is Jay Alexander. When you was your guest baseball team, that did you play for Jay Alexander down in Wayne State?
Did you, yeah, Kev? He's asking about Jay Alexander.
No, I didn't. I didn't play for Jay Alexander, but I am aware of him. But I didn't play with him.
Okay, because I just want to know what can black kids can do to be recognized, be called out for being talented or whatever, get some scholarships to go to college to play baseball, because I just don't see no black kids in the Midwest even getting called out for being playing baseball. Now, I know this one kid from Chicago. He got drafted by the Seattle Mariners, number one. His name was Ray.
Oh, Corey Ray. Know,
and I know Curtis Grandison, he does a lot with the inner city kids, too.
Right.
I just want to know what your opinion on this. Thanks for taking the call, Al. I know you got other people that calling in and you guys too. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Real briefly, Kev, you want to address that? Corey Ray is
yeah, Corey Ray's, and he got drafted by the Brewers. I actually played against him as well, but I would just say, and being brief, that showcases, I mean, you have to go to these showcases and get exposure. That's simply
kind of like AAU,
way.
Right? Yeah, basketball, something like, now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like that. But there's a lot of showcases where a lot of college scouts and professional scouts attend. A good company is PBR. That's a good showcase for baseball players to get a lot of exposure. And so that would be my answer. I know Al wanted me to keep it brief. So basically, going to those camps and getting that exposure. So.
Definitely. And again, we're short on time, but Dave, we got just 1 minute. Dave from Wyoming, what's up, man?
Well, I was going to mention baseball, but it just requires too much upkeep, too many people, which I think is reason why. A lot cheaper to take care of a basketball court in the city than it is a baseball field.
Yeah.
But my comment is, you know, journalism is tough, but I open up MLive and open up the Lancaster State Journal, they're taking comments off a Red Cedar message board and making it a story in their newspaper. I look at MLive, and they write a 300, 400-word piece on a Twitter remark from a Penn State fan. And I guess, where's the value in that? You know, at some point in time, why are, quote, reporters reporting on things like that? Is it a staffing problem, or is it just lazy editorials needing to fill space? I'll hang up. Listen, thanks.
Dave, thank you. And I think it's a combination. I think that right now, especially young readers, Isaac, they want to hear, you know, and talk about the drama, right? And the real on-the-surface sports talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff, the buzz-worthy stories on social media. And I'll elaborate more on those in probably on tomorrow's Current Sports. But I'm definitely with you, Dave, because some of the stuff I read is just complete garbage sometimes. And TMZ Sports, they're successful right now. But when you look at the stuff they're reporting on, they're reporting on social media videos, and it makes no sense to me sometimes.
Exactly. It's not reporting. It's not reporting.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Frank DeFords of the day, may he rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no longer a spot for him at local papers, sadly.
Very sad. All right, folks, we'll see you same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 East Lansing. As always, take care and be easy, people. Yeah.